Who is this King of Glory? Each one of us is going to have to answer that question before God one day. Who do we believe that Jesus Christ is? Who is He? Who is He to you? I wanted Sean to sing that for us because I wanted to focus our hearts on really the essence of the book of John. It's a book written that everyone would believe that Jesus is the King of Glory. That's why the Gospel of John was written, that we might believe. I want to read the first 18 verses of John chapter 1. Would you please take your scriptures and stand? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. Yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because He was before me.' And from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. King of Glory, we come before You this evening, and we thank You for this beautiful truth. Lord, we've been singing about You tonight, and we've been singing to You. Isn't that the way it is, Lord God? We sing about You to You. Holy Spirit, would You shine? Would You illuminate our hearts with this word? And may You bring us to believe in You, to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, and to believe in God the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We worship You and praise You. We make our prayers in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Now, for some reason, John throws us in the deep end. If you begin reading the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, you find that they start with the kiddie pool in the sense that they begin explaining about Mary and about Joseph and how the Holy Spirit overshadows Mary and she conceives and she gives birth to a little baby boy. They start you in the kiddie pool. But John grabs you by the top and the bottom of your toga and tosses you in the deep end of the pool. Now, I have had little children before. I remember teaching my little children how to swim. We would take them to the pool, and we would go, and we would kind of sit on the steps. We would come in kind of the kiddie into the pool, and you kind of sit down on the steps, and you sit down with the kids on the steps next to you, and you have their little bodies next to you, and the water comes up a little bit, but they're not really afraid. They're kind of on your lap. They're comfortable. They're getting the feel of the water. They have the sense, well, I'm with Daddy. We're on the baby steps. I can feel the bottom. That feels pretty good. I'm okay with this. I'm comfortable. I'm in the water. I can feel the bottom. And that's what Matthew and Luke do. They start their Gospels, and they kind of take you by the hand, and they walk you over, and they sit you down in the kiddie pool. And you're like, this is pretty nice. I'm enjoying this. Here's Mary. Here's Joseph. Holy Spirit comes on. She has a baby. Hey, it's baby Jesus. Me and baby Jesus, ham and eggs. We're together. I understand. I'm trying. John doesn't do that. John walks you to the deep end of the pool, and he goes,
And you're in.
And this is the gospel we're going to start. Why did John do that? Why did John do that? I'll tell you why he did it. Because he's frustrated. You ever toss your kid in the pool because you're frustrated with them? Me neither. Me neither. Would never do that. Maybe unless they knew how to swim, I might consider doing that. But there was a movement in John's day. I'll give you the technical term for it. It was called the Ebionites. And the Ebionites believed that Jesus was man, but he wasn't God. Now, to be quite honest with you, that describes most people in our culture. When you're talking to people about Jesus, you start talking to them about Jesus, they're fine with Jesus. Hey, Jesus is great. Jesus was a great man. He's a good guy. He's probably the nicest guy who ever lived. I mean, how could anybody not like Jesus? I mean, take it apart for a second. Here's Jesus, comes into the earth, grows up in a poor family. When they made the sacrifice to dedicate Jesus, do you know what they gave? They didn't give a bull. They didn't give a goat or a lamb. They gave a couple pigeons, which was allowed in Leviticus. And you know why they allowed people to give a couple birds? Because that's all they could afford. They were poor people. That's the kind of family Jesus was born into. He was born into a poor family. Who can't love somebody who started off poor and kind of had this sense of dignity, the sense of who they are, regardless of what they have? He knew who he was, and he walked through life. How could you not like Jesus? And then he walks as a young man, and he grows up, and he meets people, and he blesses people. He sees people that everyone else avoids. He goes over to them. No one else will go to Samaria. Guess what Jesus does? Hey, guys, we're heading to Samaria. We're going to take a little road trip. We're going right through Samaria. We're not going around. We're going through Samaria. Come on, let's go to Samaria. He goes to Samaria. He goes where places where people wouldn't go. Why? He loves everyone. He doesn't discriminate. He doesn't look at someone and see their color. He doesn't say, oh, that's a black person, that's a yellow person, that's a white person, that's a red person. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus sees your heart. He cuts through all that mess. He doesn't know if you're carrying a Gucci bag or a bag from Target. He cuts right through all that mess. And he goes right to your heart. Who couldn't like Jesus? He's a great guy. But is he the Son of God? That's when people start coughing. I was talking to a Muslim friend of mine. And I'll use a fake name so you don't know who it is. Hey, Muhammad. Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yes, I believe in Jesus. I won't do the Edith Fernando thing. Okay. Yes, I believe in Jesus. And I said, that's phenomenal. Like, you're Muslim. I can't believe you believe in Jesus. Oh, he was a great prophet. And I said, he was a great prophet. That's fantastic. I didn't realize that a Muslim really believed in Jesus. Oh, yes, believe in Jesus. He was, in fact, I would say, this is Muhammad speaking, he's not only a prophet, he's the prophet. He's a great prophet. He's greater than Muhammad. I'm like, wow, we're getting somewhere. Muhammad, watch where you're going. We're on our way from the airport. And I say, but do you believe in Jesus as the Son of God? Kind of adjusts his rearview mirror. Kind of catches my eye. No, I don't believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Jesus was a great man. He's not the Son of God. The same thing is going on here in John. Here's Jesus. He's walked with them. He's died in front of them. Thank you, Mason. Up out of the grave. He comes up out of the grave before them. Y'all, you have to figure something out with that. You don't just say, oh yeah, Jesus, you know, lived a perfect life, never sinned, nice to everybody, died a death that he didn't deserve to die, was in the ground 3 days and, well, rose from the dead. Yeah, well, what do you think about the Rangers pitching staff? You don't just do that, right? You've got to say, how am I going to grapple with this? And some people say, he's just a man. He's not God, he's just a man. So John writes his gospel, and he unwraps the boxing gloves off his hands, and he tapes his knuckles. And he says, you ready for this? When we played football in college, one of our linebackers, our middle linebacker, he cheated. And I'm glad he did. But he cheated. And what he did is he pulled a sock up over his arm, and he cut it off right here and pulled that part off. And then he took a Coke can, and he would pound it flat on the sidewalk. And then he'd put that Coke can, a couple of them, over his forearm. And then he'd put another sock over that, and then he'd tape it. And when a sweet offensive tackle came down across the line of scrimmage to hit him, he would just kind of be in the hitting position, and he would flop that forearm in this guy's jaw with that Coke can pressed down in there, and the guy just kind of stifle the guy, just kind of jar him. He just, pow! Kind of knees start to shake, and he goes to the ground. I've seen him knock people out. Do you know what? That's what John does. I mean, he doesn't put a Coke can under his toga. You know what I'm saying? But he starts this book with a pow! And this is what he does. Do you want to know who Jesus is? You think Jesus was a man? You think Jesus was just a man? Tee it up, big boy. Listen to this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see immediately what he does? In the beginning, where does your mind go when you hear the phrase, in the beginning? Where does your mind go as a religious person or a semi-religious person or a person here tonight trying to act religious? Where does your mind go? It goes to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God made. You see what John did? John said, Jesus is God. He goes on, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So the Word was with God. In other words, he's his own distinct personality. He's with God. And he says, and the Word was God. So in essence, Jesus Christ is equal to God, and yet he's distinct with God. He's got his own personality. So Christ, the second person of the Trinity, is God, equal in substance and power, equal in essence, and yet a distinct personality. Do you see what John's saying immediately, right off the bat? So, Jesus is just a good man, is he? Jesus is the last of the prophets, is he? Listen to me right now. He is the Son of God. He was there in the beginning. He created heaven and earth. He created everything. He's God. Now, in the way that John writes, he reiterates in order to reemphasize. So listen to verse 2. He says, he was in the beginning with God, and now he goes on. All things were made through him. Hear this. All things were made through him. In case you're not sure about that, listen to what he says. And without him was not anything made that was made. You want to talk about a redundant statement? There it is. Listen, I'll read it again for you to be equally redundant. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus made everything. He made the heavens. He made the earth. He made people. He made angels. He made dinosaurs. If it exists, Jesus made it. He made all things. He's not just a man. He's a creator. He has authority over your life. How dare you call him just a man? I dare you call him a mere man. You see what John's doing? He grabbed those guys and he tossed them in the deep end. You want to play big boy? Let's play. You talk to me about the beginning. You talk to me about Creator. Jesus Christ is God. He's the creator of everything you see. He's developing his argument. And he starts off gangbusters. John is a lawyer who's calling witnesses. I know it's hard to think of a Christian and a lawyer in the same sentence, but go with me. John is at the end of the book, you know, John 20, where he says, I'm writing this that you might believe that Jesus was merely a man. Huh? I'm writing this that you might believe Jesus is the Son of God. So how's he start? He calls witnesses. Guess who he calls first? He calls Jesus. He calls the defendant. Now that's either a panic move or he realizes his defendant is bulletproof. He tees it up with Jesus. He calls Jesus first. He explains to his audience that all things were made through Christ, who is God. And look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus Christ himself, he created life. If you are alive, you owe your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made you. Jesus Christ is in every person in the sense that he made us. We can't exist without him. He didn't just start us through creation. He also sustains us. He keeps us going. He's causing your heart to beat right now. He's causing your liver to process things appropriately. He's causing your heart to pound and course the blood through your blood vessels. If Jesus were to stop sustaining us, we would immediately cease to exist on this earth. Immediately. He's given light. He's made man a rational being. I know sometimes when you're arguing with your spouse, you question the rationality of that, but he has made man a rational being. He's different than the animals. He's given his very light into the heart, the mind of a man. He lives within us in the sense that he's developed our conscience. I know people who know nothing about God. I know people who think God's last name is Damn. And you know what? Somehow they have a sense in their conscience that they're wrong. How does that work? Jesus Christ has given light to men's consciousness, but this darkness of the world, this conscience that has fallen, has limited a man's ability to perceive even Jesus Christ, the great light. Let's read on in this. It says, verse 6, and this is where John calls his second witness. He dismisses Jesus, if you will, for a moment from the witness stand, and he calls another witness. He says, John the Baptist, come on up here. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. So John the Baptist comes, and he comes to tell people that Jesus is on his way. He comes and says, get ready. Here comes the Christ. And we're going to study that later in the chapter. Look at verse 9. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. Isn't that ironic? The world did not know him. He came to his own. His own people did not receive him. And now listen to this. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I want to stop there for a moment. I just want to ask you, do you know whether or not you're a child of God? Now, I'm going to explain what that means in this next verse, a little bit about being born. But I just want to stop for a moment and ask you, are you a child of God? Do you recognize yourself as someone who belongs to God? Do you see yourself as God's son or as God's daughter? Do you have the sense of his affection for you as his little girl? Or as his little boy. Do you have that sense in your life? Do you know that God calls us to be his sons and daughters? It says, and just listen to the verse. It says that all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them, or he gave the right to become the children of God. All. You know, I just want to say tonight, I want to offer every single one of you that promise tonight. All. Every single one of you. Do you know that if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, that he will save you? What would keep you from calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved? You might say, I'm not good enough. You might say, I've made so many mistakes in my life. I'm not talking about your mistakes right now. I'm saying, call on him. Those who call on him, he receives them. Listen to the verse. It says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now listen to this. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Born of God. Not born of simply blood, or as a human. Not only born of the will of the flesh, a husband and wife having intercourse and their union producing a child, nor of the will of man, but the will of God. The will of God that you would be born again. Do you have a sense in your life that God is calling you to himself? Do you have a sense that even under the hearing of these words of saying, you know, I've been running away from God my whole life. I want to be his child. I want to belong to him. Now look at verse 14 with me. And you may be amazed when you see this. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I want you to see a very simple outline for this passage. We start with word, and we move to light, and we end up at sun. Word and light are revelatory terms. Word, when I speak to you, I reveal what's in my heart. Light shining on you helps you to see. You know, as my vision has dimmed as I've gotten older, if I have good light, I can read almost anything. But if I don't have the right light, I can't see very well when I'm trying to read. Word and light. But you know, those are fairly generic terms, word and light. But I want you to notice that John starts with a wide funnel at the top. Word. He narrows it with light. And then he moves on in verse 14 and he says, Son. It's almost like you can look in a distance and you see a figure walking toward you. And you kind of squint and you look and you think, I think that's a person. Put the rifle down, Pete. I think that's a person. That's not a deer. And as they get closer and closer, you realize, you know what? That is a person. That's a person, and that's not a woman. She doesn't have the big hair Dallas look. I think that's a man. That is a man. Word, light, sun. I want you to see something. I want you to see something later in the passage in verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Word, light, sun, Jesus Christ. He starts with the top of the funnel being wide. He narrows and narrows and narrows. And if you have any doubt, he's speaking about Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the light who gives life. Jesus is the Son. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ who has entered the world. He's not a mere man who becomes God. Isn't that the way people think? You know what? If you're really, really good, you could become a God. That's really what the Mormons teach. One of my best friends in high school was a Mormon. And he explained to me that as you become better and better and better, you become a God. Think about the people. You know, when we travel in Asia, we find people who believe, well, I was bad in my last life. And I'm trying to be better in this life. And then I die, and maybe I won't be an untouchable. Maybe next time I'll work my way up the human food chain, and in the caste system, I'll be a more respectable person. And over time of evolving through this reincarnation process, I'll evolve into being a really great person, dissolve into nothingness, and be a god. That's the way the world thinks. If I'm good enough, I'll be better. I'll become like God. The scripture teaches the exact opposite. Jesus Christ existed with God and became a man. How humiliating to exist in eternity past as the second person of the Trinity, a spirit without a body, and then to have a body, not only to have a body, but to be born of a woman and to be hungry. And to cry. Some of the songs say that Jesus never cried as a baby. You know what? When Jesus was hungry, wah! He cried. He didn't say, Mother, I'll have some milk, please. He cried. He was born a little baby. The second person of the Trinity, existing forever, was born a little baby. But he grew up. He grew up. And do you know where he is right now? He sits at the right hand of God the Father. And there will come a day when every person who's ever lived in the world will give an account of their life to him. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. And I want you to think about this passage in light of who you are as a person, in light of what your life is going to look like over time. Because you know what? You're going to have to answer a question. Who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Who is this? Is he the King of Glory? Or is he just a man? Is he just draped in humility and I can't really see who he is? I want you to make no mistake right now, tonight, if you don't get anything, I want you to get this right now. Just because Jesus was draped in humility doesn't mean he was impotent. Never mistake God's patience for impotence. Never mistake God's patience for impotence. He is powerful. And I want you to hear this in Philippians as we close. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped. Do you see how that connects to John 1? He existed with God as God, but he didn't consider this equality with God something to be grasped. What did he do? But made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God was highly exalted. God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, the Word, the Light, the Son, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So I want to ask you a very simple question. What is the managing principle of your life? If you believe that Jesus was only a man, then Christ is not the managing principle of your life. He is not the overriding factor in every area of your life. You might have this sense that you believe in Jesus, but he's just part of your life. He's this little piece of the pie. You kind of add a little Jesus to your life. You know, it's kind of right in Dallas to drive a nice car, dress nicely, have a good job, and have a little Jesus in your life. Not too much Jesus, but enough Jesus. Christ should be the organizing principle of our existence. Everything we do, every thought we have, every person we encounter should be filtered through the grid that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is my Savior and Lord. And one day, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess. Did you hear that? Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. I have a very simple question for you. If he came back tonight, would he find you an Ebionite? Would he find you as someone who simply believed that Jesus was a man? Or would he find you as someone who worshiped Jesus as the Son of God? One day, every one of us will answer that question. You will not dodge that final exam. So I call you humbly, passionately, at one sinner to another, believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Savior of man, and the Savior of your soul. Turn your life to Him. Cry out to Him and say, "Oh Jesus, I believe you to be the Son of God." And if you don't believe, say, "Oh Jesus, I ask you to help me believe that you're the Son of God. Oh Jesus, grant that I would believe that you're more than simply a man. You're God veiled in humanity, in humility, but you're not impotent. You're powerful."